Yes, Lord. Well, we got one more testimony here I decided just to bring with me, if that's okay. I've got that right here. Oh, I'm kidding. That's just my notes. I'm sorry. These are all the papers that I was, by the help of the Lord, able to get done in the last 6 months. I just finished my college last night with one day to go. Amen. That's one of them things where, you know, you got it electronically, you don't think a whole lot of it, and then you start like, well, I'm going to go ahead and print some of this off, see what this looks like, and you get 400 something pages that you've typed up. It's like, God have mercy, thank you Jesus. I know that I could not have done this without the Lord and the prayers of His saints. So I appreciate it. God bless you. But that hurdle is over for me, and I thank God for it. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see all your smiling faces, your love like an ocean, your joy like a fountain. That's right. If it's in your soul, let's not be hypocrites. Let's go ahead and let that come out in our faces then. You know? Isaiah chapter 6 tonight. Praise the Lord. All the glory to God. I'll tell you that. With men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I told my counselor before I even... All right, I'll say it like this. I have an entrance counselor, and I purposely didn't tell them that I pastored a church because I was afraid they wouldn't accept me because they think I was too busy. So I go ahead and threw that in there on my last email back to her saying, just to let you know, you might want to check this website out. I've been also pastoring a church this whole time too, so praise the Lord. See, He's so good. He's just so wonderful. And let's start here at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, and it stood. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He did covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, it has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert and be healed. And said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men from far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten. And as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. I tried to cut that off early when I was doing my notes, but I'm going to use all this, the Lord willing, and what we're speaking on today. But we're still on the original, has returned. I'd like to take for a bride's... Might be hard to see that from what we just read there, but I'm telling you, this should tie in if I can give it the way it was given. So, the bride's revival. Let's bow our heads, and let's just lift our hearts to the Lord. If you have a need behind your hand, lift it up to Him now. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for being in Your house again tonight, knowing that tonight in our nation is a day of ruckus and rioting and a bunch of nonsense. But Lord, You did something to us, and You took us out of that. And when we could be doing anything tonight that we wanted to, You've put a desire in us to be in the house of God. And we thank You for that, Lord, knowing that when we walked in those things, it was death. It was killing us. But now we're coming to feed on the Word of God, which is life. I pray that this Word that's spoken tonight would go beyond our mental faculties, go beyond just the physical realm here. And may we translate into that kingdom that we're a part of, the kingdom of Your dear Son, Lord. And may You be able to feed us with bread from on high, that our soul would just rise up and cast away the works of darkness, that You'd send a revival into the heart of person that's here, and I pray you'll make this thought clear as day to each one. Lord, I'm just your mouthpiece. Would you move me aside and speak the words you have for us tonight? Heal the sick that's here. Save anyone that might be lost and fill those that are empty, Father. Be with those that wanted to be here and couldn't as well. We pray you bless them, Father. Bring them to the house of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to have to take a drink. There's something in my throat. It's good to see you all tonight and to be in the house of the Lord. To have that promise that we believe that where two or three would gather in His name, He'd be here in the midst, which makes the service from just being a nice social gathering into something that's predestinated to God, something very special. I love the presence of God, that it just has that lasting quality that nothing else in life does. You know, you do something for so long and eventually you get bored with it. But when it's the presence of the Lord, it just doesn't have that. It has an eternal quality that it never runs dry, it never runs empty. It's just as fresh today as it was when you experienced it 50 years ago. If you're really in the true presence of God, which I believe we are tonight. Said, do you have to feel a certain way or think a certain thing? Not necessarily, because the Word already declared it, and I believe the Word of God, and that makes it so. It's so whether I believe it or not, but I believe it, so I'm in line to receive from it. And that's where I pray that all of us have come tonight, believing the Word of God, that God knows my heart, that God cares about me as an individual, and He knows what to feed me tonight. And I'm here just like one of those little birdies that's in the nest just born not too long ago. Don't know how to feed themselves, just looking up. Say, Mama, give me a bite. That's all I know how to do. All I can do is just sit here and try to get some food. God ain't wanting us to be self-dependent. He's wanting us to give all our dependency to Him. Let's cast our cares on Christ because He cares for us. Hallelujah. Let's take this short, this little passage here. And I'm sure you're well familiar with it if you've read the Bible. Well, you have Isaiah, and it's the year Uzziah died. And we know Brother Branham preaches influences quite a few times out of the scriptures here. And I'd like to start with that first part because I just want to type it out a little bit like this, that the prophet of God is what I believe is the bride of Christ in this day. What he went through here is exactly what we're seeing, what did happen, and what is happening right now. And first, Brother Branham speaks on us, and I think it'd be good for us to do it too, about the seraphims. And if you know the seraphims, they're kind of an angel, kind of not. They're one of God's sacrifice burners that are before the altar, and they have six wings. And Brother Branham talks about these six wings, and I believe it's the approach that the bride of Christ will have that the rest of the world doesn't know nothing about. They've forsaken these principles that I'm about to get to, but the angels are showing Isaiah how to approach the throne of God. Thank you, Lord. Which he had six wings, and let's do there, right there at verse 2. And he covered his face. And Brother Branham, let me read what he says here in Influences, 1963. And we find out that these six wings, now we're going to study the reason for having six wings. We found out they had two over their face, two over and were flying with two wings. Now notice first that these creatures were ministering in the presence of God. And that was their duty, and was crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And they cried day and night in His presence as the sacrifice is laying there. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I want you to notice something here and think. Those seraphims had two wings over their faces. Why would they put them over their faces? Because they were in the presence of God. And just think, if holy angels have to cover their faces in His presence, what about us? Has the wings over their faces represented reverence? But today we find that there is no reverence. Hardly you can find reverence. They don't have no respect for God. They stand and sing God Bless America with their foot on the bar. And it's terrible the way they do. So what was the first thing is the respect of God. And Solomon talked about it, said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the fear of the Lord is not how the devil makes us fear. It's not the same kind of fear that we're talking about. The fear of the Lord is a respect and a reverence towards God's presence, towards God's servants, toward God's people, towards God's house, toward God's word. It's respect to what is God. And that's something we've got away from. How do you know, Brother Andrew? Because when you see people come to church, for some reason they ain't too concerned with worshiping God. They're more concerned with what somebody else is doing that's worshiping God. And they get looking at this and blaming this person for why there's no revival. We're talking about the Bride of Revival. We're getting there now. Now, I believe the Church of God, when a minister ought to look out, I think he should be able to see every person looking this way. Sorry, but it don't always work that way. Why? Because we get looking side to side too much when we should just be looking up. Looking up to the Word promise that God, I don't care what anybody else is doing in this place right now. I'm not concerned with that. You didn't call me to do that. You called me to come and worship you. And my first thing is to respect you. And when I respect God's presence, I come prepared. These angels didn't just come haphazardly. They had a purpose in being in where they were in the presence of God. This prophet needed to get this message. And if he didn't, there was going to be a lot of dead souls out there. But praise God, it happened perfectly. They came respectfully. They came in reverence before God. And I pray God help us to have a revelation of that. I'll tell you, that's the one thing I think Catholics have got on most of the message people that I've been around. They respect that church. They respect what they think is God more than most message people that I've met. They will, oh my, you know, you don't cross the wafers or anything. We're going to respect. And they walk in, no, we're not talking right now. We're here to respect. And they've got that. Now, you know, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, commandments of men. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I believe that we shouldn't just throw out the baby with the handbasket, or however you say that. I'm a little too young for that expression, but you know what I mean. Don't throw out the good with the bad. If there's something going right, we ought to take that. And I believe that's what the restoration of the bride is. It's pulling out the truth out of everything and getting all the false out of it. Beating all the dross out of it. And sometimes God has to take a hard hand to do it. But God beat out all the dross out of my soul, out of my mind, out of my body, to where I only feast on the Word of God. Hallelujah. We ought to respect God's house. We ought to come in here with a desperation to be in His presence. And a desperation to respect His Word that's going to come forth. Now we're not just here to figure out what's wrong with the place. What's wrong with the preacher? What's wrong with the songs? What's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? If you get stuck in that rut, I'm telling you, you're backslid. And you might as well just quit listening to the preacher because you ain't hearing nothing yet. You need to get that spirit on off you. Brother Branham says this, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm just going to have to. Then he was having a prayer line and people coming up and he said, you get those thoughts that say, well, I'm just too tired today. Or it's just too hot in here. He said, you know what that is? That's legions of devils. And we just think it's a passing thought. Ain't no big deal. Come on now. Oh, God understands. You know, I had a long day at work. What are we here for then? God help us to get into the bride's revival I'm about to speak on here in a minute. So with two wings, and let's just get through this here in a short amount of time. 2 weeks he covered his face. He respected God. Next, and this is a little bit further down. Now, secondly, they had their feet covered with wings under their feet. Now that represented humility. Oh, there's a word that's lost today to many people. Humility in His presence. Humble yourselves in His presence. If you come to the house of God, and let's say you know you're backslid. Let's say you know you're doing wrong. Let's say you know you got a problem. The only reason you leave the house of God with that is you weren't willing to humble yourself and say, Lord, I got a problem. Lord, I can't deliver myself. I'll never be able to deliver. It's the same with sickness. Don't you think you can overcome sickness? The Holy Spirit already did it when He died for you 2,000 years ago. And we've been given a message to show us that it was always true. The atonement is still the focus. And it worked. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't hardly get anybody to come up in an altar call when the Holy Spirit's up here and I know exactly. God help me to be honest with you. Know exactly what's wrong. But I can't just say that stuff because then people get looking at a man. And Brother Branham even learned that to an extent. He said, people think it's me. He said, I was pointing, even himself, he said, I was pointing too much to the gift instead of, or to the sign instead of where the sign was pointing. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't dare say that about a servant of God unless he said it himself. That's what he said. I don't think, and that's the same with you and brother and sister. We always think, well, my, why did they do that wrong? No respect to God because you disrespected your brother. And can you love God whom you have not seen if you can't love your brother who you have? Respect. Humility. And I think the ministry should be the same way. They need to respect. I don't know. I can't speak for every minister, but we ought to respect how we handle this word, knowing that we're accountable for what we say about it. Because if we don't preach it the way that was brought by God's servant, by revealed word of God, then we will be judged for being false leaders. Blind leaders is a blind leading them into the ditch. But I want to just say something like this real quick. A lot of people get worked up about that a little too much, I think. They're too concerned with this brother says this or this one says that. I don't know if I can handle this or that. Well, here's what I'm telling you. The blind lead the blind into the ditch. You show me where it says the blind lead those who have sight into the ditch. If that man is off the word of God and you've got the real Holy Ghost, it'll tell you not to follow that. And you don't have to throw the man out either. You can just keep serving God. You might not know why you're where you're at. Brother Branham said even to go back to those denominations and shine light. Maybe that's why God wanted you there. Not forever, but maybe for a little season. Amen. And I think you can do that in churches. I was just talking to Brother Alexander, and there was a time where even, it was actually him, he was one of them that I brought to church, and I was actually a little ashamed that I brought him where I did. Because I couldn't say I really believed in what was all going on. But it was the best I could find. Did that stop Brother Alexander from getting saved? Did that stop him from getting the Holy Ghost? No, because the blind can't lead the blind, or they only can lead the blind. They can't lead those who have sight, and the Holy Ghost just uncovered that you always had it. Praise God. Now those, if we can get through those hurdles, which I believe are very tight, you can type justification, sanctification, and a lot of people in the message, they focus hard on this, but look, there's a means to an end about it. Why do we get saved? Why do we get cleansed? It's because God wants to use us for His kingdom. The works that I do, Jesus said, you will do those and greater than this. He purposely left out part of the ministry for His own to save it for us to do it as well, because we're a part of His body. Hallelujah. Because these seraphims had two more wings. And let me read that here. Now, thirdly, they could fly. They had two wings that put them in action. God is showing His prophet here what kind of a servant He has prepared. Reverent, humble, and in action. Sometimes people think if you're in action, you stop being humble. They think, well, I've dealt with this a lot anymore. I've realized people get pretty offended when you actually believe God and you have faith in His Word and you don't have a loophole. You don't have a plan B. You don't have this could work. No, it's going to, because God said it. And I understand the sinner. I give them a little grace. They don't understand how I see things. You know, my kid gives a cough and, oh man, he's got it. No, we don't.
That's right.
You can take your devil on out of my house. He ain't staying around here. I've even had somebody tell me that because my son gets a little worked up sometimes, oh, he might have Asperger's. Oh, you get that thing out of my house. My kid's just fine because he's mine. That's my inheritance, devil. Don't put your sickness on them. I don't even care who it comes from. It could be someone that I respect. If they bring something ain't the word, you can get out of me. You can get out of here, man. The word's my absolute. I don't think we have to just suck down colds and flus and all that because it's the winter and it's just going around. No, I've got something greater. I don't live in Laodicea. I live in a new realm, a new age where all things are possible. Why? Because I got two wings that get me in action. I don't drop my humility off to fly with those. Okay, I don't take those wings off. We leave those ones on too, all right? You use all six, not just two or four that you like. All of it. This is the kind of servant. It's the same with justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't just pick one or the other. You've got to take the whole package or you're not born again. It's got to be all of it. You've got to get saved. Yes. You've got to realize you didn't save yourself. Then you've got to have the Holy Ghost cleanse you out or He can't use you. Then you've got to have Him come in and quicken you or you'll never live the life. If you skip any of that, you're in trouble. Because the Holy Ghost can come quicken something that ain't cleansed. Come on now, and it'll bring forth something you don't want. That's why you can't skip the blood. That's sanctification. You can't do that. That thing that God is quickening must be pure. It must be the Word. And the only way is for the Holy Ghost to sanctify it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Sanctification don't just mean you kick out the TV and things. That should have happened anyways. There should be some in you that don't want it no more. And we might need to go back and make sure that we didn't pick up something along the road that made us start thirsting after something of the world, because that's enmity against God. God help us. But That's what a servant ought to be, and I believe the bride of Christ will be the same way. Not a big put on, but someone that's sincere. Someone that respects God. Someone that's reverent. No, who else was there besides Isaiah? His mentor, Uzziah, was dead. And I believe it was God getting his eyes off a man.
Amen.
And saying, right here is the only man you need to worry about. Are you to that point yet? Where your relationship to God is the only thing that matters. Someone else's opinion, your co-worker, your, even down to your wife or brother or whatever. Look, Peter had to get told in his face, get thee behind me, Satan. See, can you get to the point where you understand spiritual warfare the way it really is? You don't make, if you're going to take a personal attachment to someone's sin, you're going to be in trouble when you're done with it. You're going to think that that brother's against you when you need to get past that and say, oh, there's a devil there. That's what it is.
Amen.
And I already know he don't love me, so... Big surprise. And if you can have the grace that you should for others like you have on yourself when you know that you've given yourself over to many spirits that you shouldn't have and done many things you shouldn't have done, probably today, at least this man did, and you can have grace and learn that that brother don't hate me. He ain't trying to do that. He ain't trying to show off. He just loves the Lord, and he ain't trying to be boastful. He's just in action maybe a little bit more than I am, but that's okay. I'm just going to do it as well. I'm going to put wings on as well and get moving. Amen. Hallelujah. That's, let me read that now. See, that's a real servant of God. These who look upon him. He was looking upon Isaiah that got lifted up and fell by pride. But a servant, his servants in before him in is reverent, humble, and in action. His servants, that's the way they should be dressed. Dressed in reverence. And that'll make you sisters dress right. That'll make you brothers clean up and get the filth out. It's just respecting God will do that in itself. Praise God, we're given the Holy Ghost that's enough power to speak a world into existence, and it can sure kick out sin out of your life if you'll believe it. Yes, don't ever take any shackles of the enemy. Oh, I'm always going to have this pride. I'm always going to have this love. I'm always going to have this health problem. Don't you do that. You just break right out of those and say, by his stripes, I am healed. By his power, I am delivered. Thank you, Lord. It needs to start coming out of our mouth. It wasn't, hey, Isaiah, right there. Let's just read that. It was verse 8. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, the pastor. Brother Jehoshaphat. Come on, buddy. I'll support you. No. Here am I. Send me. Now, Isaiah was smart enough not to just go on his own. But if he looked around, he says, who's going to go for us? And he saw everybody else cowering away, just like David, looking at Goliath over there. And everyone else seems to be running away. What's your guys' problem? All right, fine. I'm not trying to be boastful. I've got the humility of God, but I've got two wings of action. And if ain't nobody else going to take this giant out, I'll do it.
Amen.
Just like David, is there not a cause? You guys all want to die today? Why don't we give it a go?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who will go for us? And the bride said, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Not brother so-and-so, not sister so-and-so. Here am I. Send me.
Amen.
I'm not going, Lord. You send me. Send me, because just like Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, Lord, I'm not going.
Amen.
And that's exactly what God wanted to hear. We think we're crying too much. We say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Oh, that's the way he wants you. That's the way you get success in Christ, is when you just stay in Christ. When you don't try to venture out on your own, but your dependency is constantly on him. Lord, I can't even walk without holding your hand. I can't pray today without you being in me. I can't be the right father unless you come show me how to do it. Thank you, Lord, because you might have a good idea. It might look scriptural, but my logic has sent many a soul to hell. There's a way that seems right unto a man. And the end thereof is death. That's why we need to be dependent on the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Brother Branham was even asked when he preached the 70 years of Daniel, or weeks of Daniel and things. He said, how are the people to understand this? You can't understand it logically. You'll never get through it. The devil will bring you something that you can't figure out. But the revelation will hold true if you get a real revelation. And the Spirit will show you where it really is written, because God wrote the word, he interprets it.
Yes.
Not you and me. Hallelujah. All right, so let me backtrack just for a little bit here. We've talked about revival quite a few times, and I've heard it in a lot of churches, and people got a lot of thoughts about revival. But if it's all right tonight, I've got a few pages of quotes. I'm probably going to do a lot of reading. Thanks, Ed, for fixing that. I believe there is a revival for the bride of Christ. Amen. I don't think that God stops moving. Some people tend to think those kind of things, that the nine spiritual gifts aren't to be active in the church anymore. We're past that. We're onto a word age. Well, did you get past justification and we don't need it no more? Did you get past sanctification and we just did away with that? So why are we getting rid of Pentecost like we don't need it? Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now let me read you what Brother Branham says before the seals here. And I've hit on this when we went spoken word and things like that, that it was a planting and things. Let me read this. It's out of End Time Sign Seed, 1962. There's a revival going on. What is it? Of sowing. Okay? Now listen, you don't hear very much of Billy Graham no more, do you? What about Orr? What about the rest of them? You know the great revival fire's not burning? What is it? It's the end time seed sign. The words have been sown. Okay? What is it? Denomination will reap denomination. That makes them confederate to themselves together. But the Word of God has been sown also. And when the Spirit of God begins to fall, the Word of God will live in the people. And that false bride that's committed adultery out there and brought herself into creeds and sold out her birthrights will reap what? A confederation of church that's to be bound and burned like the thorns and thistles. But where the Word of God's been sown into the people's heart, it'll reap a bride of Christ as certain as I'm standing here. End time signs. Okay? So before the seals, and this is right around the time of spoken word's original seed, Brother Bram keeps emphasizing that the word has been planted. It's been planted. It's been planted. We're waiting for a quickening. The revival that's going on, even at that time, as far as the national scale, it was already wrapped up. All the way back to 56, I believe, if that's right. Some of y'all probably have that a little bit better. No, that's right. It is 56. I remember that now. 50 years after 1906. And people... Let me give you one more quote here. This is during the seals, the third seal. Brother Branham says this about revival. Let me read it now. Now that's the reason today the revivals that we're supposed to have. We have denomination revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. No, sir. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they've got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. No, the bride hasn't had a revival yet, see? There's been no revival there. No manifestation of God to stir the bride yet, see? We're looking for it. And most people stop reading the quote.
That's right.
And they say, well, guess we're just going to keep looking for it. The revival's coming. The prophet said we haven't had it yet. It's got to come later on then. Yeah, you're right. It was a little sooner than most people thought. Let me read you the next sentence. We're looking for it. It will take those seven unseen thunders to wake her up again. He'll send it. He promised it. Now watch. Let me skip here a little bit. Maybe I'll come back in a minute. Brother Branham's asked this question. A lot of people think that the seven thunders are something we shouldn't understand yet either. And I've just always baffled about that because I've read what Brother Branham said. And I believe it the way Brother Bram said it. And I didn't go off on some tangent about the thunders are this thing or they're that thing. And we're just all over the place and running to and fro and don't know where we're at. When I was pretty sure that this was something already supposed to be dealt with. Because last I checked, the promise of Revelation 10:7 is that the mystery of God is to be finished. So I shouldn't be having to fish around trying to find an answer. It should already be there.
Amen.
And it is. Brother Bram's asked this. The very same question that I'm relaying to you right now. Questions and Answers, 1964. Have the seven thunders, which equals seven mysteries, already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are they not yet known to us as the thunders yet? No. They were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about.
Amen.
What more do you want them to say? They was through those seven thunders that had uttered their voices and no one could make out what it was. John knew what it was, but he was forbidden to write it. Remember, and he went to write and the Spirit said, don't do it yet. He said, but the seventh angel. in the day of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed.
Amen.
And the seventh angel is a messenger of the seventh church age.
Amen.
And I think we all here that know the message of the hour, know who the seventh church age messenger is, and what those seven mysteries must have been. So right up, even when the seals, remember that was just the first few, it had to have all of them open before you could see it. Without the seventh seal being open, make sure you don't got that doctrine. I believe all the seven seals are open.
Amen.
Because without that, we're still locked up somewhere. There's the mystery isn't finished yet. There's one more seal left to be open. I don't believe that. And Brother Branham says time and time again, I think I talked about that, that was a while ago now, that just brought to my memory, the opening and the closing of the seventh seal. Why? It's because the denominations will never be able to see that. They cannot see this mystery because they can get the doctrines line up through six. But when you hit the seventh, you've got to be it. You've got to be a part of that, or it doesn't mean anything to you. Just as much as you might think you know Brother Andrew, but until you are me, then you know the truth. Even my wife don't always understand me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But the seven seals, Brother Branham says that the bride will have a revival. And in the third seal, not seventh yet, third, he says there's been no revival yet to wake up the bride. But, let me read it one more time. It will take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again.
Amen.
He will send it. He promised it. And it wasn't but a few days later. God sent it. Hallelujah. Now what is that? What is the bride's revival then? I believe that the opening of the seventh seal, because that's just the last one, all seven together, I believe that was the thunder that hit seven times, was that 7-week revival, which would have been a blimp in God. The seven thunders that went forth was the revelation of the seven seals, and that was sent to produce a bride. It says that Jesus have a name that nobody knew. He said, but it's underneath those seals somewhere. And if we would have just known, it was adding one letter, Mrs. Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have made it some crazy doctrine we run off with trying to find some new name for God. It was God's manifestation in His people that they couldn't see, but then the seals came open.
Amen.
And the revelation of those seals produces the bride's revival. Because if you see who you are, no devil can stop you. No sickness, no conflict, no church split. I don't care what it is. You overcome because you know who you are. And you're fully persuaded that if He saved me and He showed me this, I know who I am. John, do you see John yet? Remember when John... When they begin to rejoice in Revelation 5, it says the 24 elders begin to sing too.
Sure.
And one of those, that was the 12 apostles, was John. And John saw himself. You can't stop that revival. That's what we're talking about. When the one individual person sees who they are, they don't let no devil, no minister, no doctrine, no church talk them out of it. But they soak it in. They eat it. It tastes so good. Oh, it'll make you a little bitter. Don't worry. We've got a realization of the truth, and that is tough. Even Solomon said that, didn't he? He said, with much knowledge is much weariness, because you know things that the world's guessing about. We know what's coming. Anybody surprised with what Russia's doing? What Israel's doing? What the United States is doing? No, everybody else is scratching their head going, what's going on? I think some people are wondering, why aren't we blowed up yet? We know, because there can't be a bomb until I'm gone. There won't be one fall until the bride's out. God will not send the judgment on this place until His bride is gone. And what was to quicken the bride was the opening of the seven seals. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to have to read some more. Let me make sure you're listening good. I think you are, but sometimes we get a little too excited as ministers and something kind of passes over sometimes. I want you to get what I'm saying today. Visible Union of the Bride of Christ, 1965. Some of you people that really believe this to be the truth, amen?
Amen.
That we're entering another age. we're entering the rapture age. You know the church can't go in its condition, and it can't get any better. It must get worse. How many knows that? Say amen. It's got to get worse, and it can't go like this. See, it's got to be something, and it's moving right now, friends. It's on. The move is on for the bride. That's the truth. That's thus saith the Lord. See, where's the revival? We're still waiting for the revival. It's going to come on some down the road. And there's going to be this mighty outpouring of the Spirit. And thousands are going to come in. And we're going to see signs and wonders left and right. Things you can't dispute. And the world will know that we're the bride of Christ. It don't work that way. They'd never believe Jesus was the Messiah. Very few, or even one man finally had enough sense to say, okay, I just saw that earthquake. Everything's black all of a sudden. Truly, that was the Son of God. That was it. You didn't find nobody else. And I believe there will be souls here that know the bride's gone. God have mercy on them. I'd much rather be ignorant than know. But now that we know, do you find where you are in the picture?
Amen.
Do you think the message came to you to show you you're the foolish version? Yep, you're going to the tribulation. If that's your interpretation, you are one miserable person. I will tell you that right now. But if you will recognize that why the seals were open was for the bride's revival to begin.
Amen.
And that you receive that, it takes all the doubt away. It takes all the fear. And you can be what those angels were. You can have respect that people don't understand. You can walk humble and yet in action at the same time, because you'll do what Jesus did.
Amen.
And if you're worried, well, how can I go? Don't worry, the angel prepared Isaiah before the question was asked.
Amen.
He said, "Woe is me! For I'm undone." And we had to find our place there for a while too. Woe is me, I'm undone. And he said, and then the angel got a coal off and burned off that sin. He says, your iniquity's purged.
Amen.
And when he heard those words, it began to stir something in Isaiah.
Sure.
And here we've heard what justification really is. Yeah, it seems so few are stirred. Why? Because it's the bride's revival. It will only be for the bride. They'll be the only ones that can recognize it is as if I never did it in the first place. So I'm not afraid to go anymore. I'm not afraid come sin or whatever. I've already overcome that because I was in Him when He did it. And not only that, not only am I just believing that, He has now opened it up to me and I can see it. That I'm in the Word. That I'm a part of the Word. That I'm one of the sons of God that were shouting for joy before the foundation of the world. I'm not just a figment of God's imagination, but I was there. As part of the Word, I was there. And as part of the Word now, I have to go back. I came from God, and I'll go back to God. Glory to God. Let me read you a few more here. Recognizing your day and its message. Everywhere now, there's no revival. Everybody's complaining. Ministers crying. I was reading one of the outstanding papers that come here to the church, a very fine paper. And I know the editor and I know the people, and they're godly people, very fine. Brother and Sister Moore of the Herald of His Coming. One of the finest papers on the field, Herald of His Coming. But they hardly will print anything unless it's about fast and pray, fast and pray. How many reads it? You know, you see it all the time. Fast and pray. Fast and pray. It's all you hear. Fast and pray. We're going to have a great breaking of the day. There is a great thing going to happen. All of you, pray. We're not too late yet. There's a reason I'm reading this, because of what I just preached here not too long ago. I'm not telling us to pray for a revival. I'm telling us to pray that we are the revival. And that we'll take off our blinders and get out of all these distractions and all these sins. When we fast, not to say, God, send it. It's, God, make it live, because I know I have it.
Amen.
Totally different perspective. If you're just crawling for the sky, trying to climb way up Jacob's ladder, and you see it 50 feet above you, there's no hopes of getting there. When you find out that somebody picked you up and already put you up there, then you know how to pray a little bit different than somebody way down there. That's what I'm saying. We've been translated. We're in a rapture age. That's why Brother Man said when the seals were open, the rapture's on. Because people were starting to catch this. It wasn't a lot. Brother Branham even said, he said, I'm waiting for somebody to come tell me what it's all about. He said, I've only had a few that I actually have an idea. And he said, you're not supposed to even get it now. I believe even the prophet could see that this was going to be a little bit longer. And he thought 77, which was still a little bit time. But remember, he said in the vision he could still hear the pages turning after it got dark. And if it was that dark in 77 when you couldn't see, where are we at now? Amen. Don't lose focus. Don't lose endurance. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Don't tell me it's been too long. Oh, it can't go much longer. Just from a natural, just a reason. How in the world could of a world with so many crazy people in it that enjoy watching people die, that want, they don't even want to live anymore. Why wouldn't they shoot a nuclear bomb and just blow themselves up with everybody else? Go out with a bang, right? What's holding this together is God's mercy to us and to the rest of the bride of Christ that hasn't come in yet.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Now let me finish that. Fast and pray. He talks about that. Herald, and I've seen this in messages. They don't say fast and pray. They just say, we're just waiting. We're predestinated. It'll happen one of these days. Let's just sit here and wait. And we're just kind of going through the motions and service. We don't need the gifts anymore. Don't worry about that. And some, you know, there's no more souls coming. We're just waiting. No, the bride's in action. She's got wings to move with. Hallelujah. And here's what Brother Branham says. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing that there will be awakening. They're good people. Why is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride.
Amen.
Past tense. Hallelujah. Come on now. See, by being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized what's been done. That's what makes them feel that way. They know something is supposed to happen, but see, they're looking for it way off in the future to come when it's already happened right by you. See, the revival for the bride will not be a national revival. That's for Israel. Any prophecy of things, that's all for Israel when they have their revival. And even they're not in the majority. It's just 144,000 out of millions. The Jews, are, as a nation, will even think they're crazy.
Sure.
Come on now. Only that 144 is going to get sealed and that's it. And here we are, waiting for God to do something. No, you're not. If you get a revelation, God is waiting on you to step into your position.
Amen.
To say with boldness in your heart and faith in God, here am I, the bride of Jesus Christ. Here am I. Send me.
Amen.
And that's the bride's revival, is when the individual finds that for themselves and then walks in it. That's the revival we're looking for. Will it produce signs? The greatest signs you've ever seen this world ever have. But how many people saw Jesus walking on the water? Just the disciples. How many people saw Lazarus come out of the grave? Not too many that we know of. How many even saw Jesus' ministry in any way, shape, or form? Yet you're going to tell me there's been a greater man walk this earth? Even when God displayed it and sent the prophet around the world 7 times. Allow them to record it so they could hear it. Do they believe it yet? And why do we think that something's going to change when our revival happens? Or is happening, I should say. When we begin to see it, we think, oh my, everybody's going to know it. Then, no, you know it.
Amen.
Because he's coming as a thief in the night.
Right.
So you're going to be the only ones who sees where Christ really is. Are you sold out on it? Do you believe it? That's really God who showed you that revelation of who you are? If so, nobody else's opinion matters. Walk in truth. You'll heal the sick. You'll raise the dead. You'll cast out devils. But it'll be just like every day.
Amen.
How did Enoch get in a rapture?
He walked.
Not alone now. But he walked with God.
Amen.
Why? That long-term commitment to God. That long-term commitment to Jesus Christ. That if when you hear him having some big sweeping revival coming through, it was a day of quickening. We've had that. It's been sown, but we're in a harvest time. And the rain's falling only for the bride to quicken.
Amen.
All the rest of it, he's not concerned with. We're just getting it so we can separate it out. He'll go take and burn the rest of it off. But he's going to take his children into his kingdom.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Lord. We're at the end time. And the bride's revival, you can fight me if you want to, is going on right now.
Amen.
If you're looking for it, pray that God shows you
because you don't see it yet. You're hearing the word revelation, and it's just a good catchword, or it doesn't really mean anything to you. Until you get a real revelation, it doesn't mean anything to you. It's just, it might as well be said information instead of revelation. But once you get the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the first revelation. Why? Because until you see who He is, you can never see who you are. Because if you're the bride, you are a part of Him. So for you to get a revelation of Jesus Christ as being the one true omnipotent God that had a bride locked into His heart that expressed now, until you can see that, you'll never identify that you're a part of it. If you think He's a Trinity, or if He's just the oneness of God way off there by Himself and you have nothing to do with it, how can you walk as the bride of Jesus Christ? But thank God, the awakening has come. God sent the seals to where we don't have to guess. It's been opened. We can see it, so we can walk in it. Thank you, Lord. But praise God, if you're a son of God, I'm here to tell you, you have to get it. You have to. There's no getting away from it. If you've got the littlest desire in your heart to serve God, I believe there's still a chance. And we're still here waiting for you to get it. You say, why are you poking at them? Because I know in whom I have believed. I've received this. I have to know that. Am I supposed to? I'm still humble. I hope you understand it. But I still got wings of action that I know who I am. Did Isaiah know he was a prophet? Yes. Did he know he was being sent by God? Yes, he did. He didn't bow down. What was his ministry? Let's just talk about the bride's ministry. What was Isaiah's ministry? Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. It was a message that God was preparing Isaiah. They will reject you. And he goes on and on. It's just bad, terrible. Everybody's, they're not going to receive it. The heart of this people is waxed fat. Oh, now. Unless they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? How long are we going to have to endure this? Come on now. And here's what God told him. And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant. So how long? Until it's over. How long are we supposed to do this work that God has sent us? Until it's done. Until we have new bodies and we're on the streets of gold and we're having a good time at the marriage supper. When that happens, then you're done. That's when you keep preaching it. Oh, when they turn me down again. No, keep preaching it. Why? And let me get down here. And the Lord, verse 12, it's 6:12. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the land, in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. You catch that there at the end? Yes, Isaiah, you're going to go send a message. Yes, they're going to reject you. Yes, it's going to be terrible. They're going to wipe everything out. But the seed is what you're going after, and that will endure. That's the substance of why I'm sending you, is to go quicken that seed. And you say, why did God send a prophet for so many years all around the world and this is all we got? Because God knew those that were His, and they had the seal of God, because He had their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He had to redeem them. He knew that they couldn't make it with some denominational thought. They had to know who they were in this age to make it. And do you understand that the whole body of Jesus Christ is waiting on us?
Amen.
Because we'll call forth the resurrection. That's exactly the truth. Everybody's waiting on God to move. I said this, I think, last Sunday. But where is God? What did the seals show you? It showed me God lives in me. And if I'm waiting on God, then I'm waiting on me, because me and God's become one. All right, let me read you a few more here. I'm going to wrap it up. A man running from the presence of the Lord. Now, it's talking about Jonah. Hopefully you know that chapter. If not, you can read it probably in about 15 minutes tonight. You go ahead and go do that. It's only four chapters. Remember God. Well, God was in the boat. God was in the storm. God was in the fish. Everywhere He, that's Jonah, everywhere he turned, God was there. See, God is there, and it'll just keep haunting at you. So why do we wait any longer? Let's just start this revival right. What's you waiting on? We believe the coming of the Lord is at hand, and He's going to have a bride in it ready, and we don't want no ships to any Tarshish. We're going to Nineveh. We're going to glory. Amen. That's right. We're going where God is going to bless, and that's what we want to do. Lay out in the presence of God, then with our hearts. Not with our hands so much, but our hearts before God until He has seasoned us through and through like that. The rays of His glory and baked into us His goodness and ripened that which we have got into reality, see, to where we can show others that Jesus Christ lives. Oh my, we want to believe that. And remember, where Jonah went, God was in the boat. God was in the storm. God was in the fish. He went on being right along with Jonah until His perfect will was done. That's right. And if He's ever after you, you might dodge over here. You might dodge over there. But you'll be miserable until you come back and do the thing you started out for Him to do at the first place. See, don't go run from the presence of God. Face up to it. You believe that it's the truth, then if it is the truth, it's worth living for, dying for, anything else. And if He's ever vindicated it to you that it is the truth, then we can't run from it nowhere. He'll be right there just the same. Amen. You can't do it. And that's why I'm saying, why do we keep preaching this thing? Because the bride has got to be the bride. He said there will be a bride without spot or wrinkle, and she must be there. So if part of the bride is still not acting like the bride, we will sit here until they get that revelation, and God will continue to follow them. You say, haunt you? Yes, He will. Thank God for that. Thank God when I was doing wrong, something kept speaking. Say, get back here. Get back here. Even when you got religious, you kind of halfway came. He said, quit doing that. Come on. Let me show you the truth of who you are. But do we listen to the tapes to find out who we are? Are we reading the Word of God to find out who we are? Are we praying before God to find out who we are? And this is an eternal revelation. It's not something you can just say, oh, I got it all. No, it just keeps unfolding. Just more and more and more. I know that's something our mind can't really wrap around, but God is going to eternally reveal Himself to us. I mean, that's just an amazing thing that God can do that, but I believe God is God. And He can do whatever He wants. Hallelujah. Let me finish on this. Invisible union of the bride of Christ. But watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, let me show you what that is. When she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God. Many ministers cry for a revival. They're looking for a revival. I'm not looking for people just to shout and then go out and be the same sinner they always were. I'm not looking for people to even speak in tongues and interpret and then just be the old rotten devil they always were. I'm looking for those that are willing to line up to the Word of God. To have a zeal, like Brother Branham said, to be able to say, you know what? I'm wrong. But I know where to go, Lord. I'm coming back to You. I'm coming back to the blood. And the blood will wash away all that you aren't so you can see who you are.
Sure, amen.
Thank You, Lord. That's the revival we're really looking for. That's not just sanctification either. A lot of people think that idea. That's part of it. Oh yeah, they'll line up to the Word. They'll get justified by faith. They'll get sanctified by the Spirit, but they'll also be filled with the Holy Ghost and power and fire.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. You need the fire, you'll never burn the thing out of you. It'll just keep staying there. You might go bury it, but I'm going to tell you, it's got a perverted life, but it's got one. It'll get out of there. But if you burn it, it's gone. Hallelujah. When she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God, watch then again, you see, how that the Scriptures at that time, there'll be a message sweep out to catch that bride, catch that woman. Did that message come?
Amen.
The elect has heard the message. The message is not a new doctrine. It is not a denomination. It is not a new idea or movement. It is literally Jesus Christ Himself who has come and shown who He was. But God is not, well, He's a gentleman. Exactly right. That's why people can't see it. That's why, and a lot of times they don't want to see it because it's too humble for their ecclesiastical idea. I believe this revival is happening all around us. What's bringing people back to God that ain't been in church for years and years? What's getting us to get the trash out of our lives and start focusing back on the Word of God? Come on now. What's getting us stirred up all of a sudden to where we believe all things are possible? How many can say you've got more faith in healing and salvation now than you ever did? Why? Because you are becoming what was prophesied for you to be, to have perfect faith. How does perfect faith come? By becoming the Word of God, and that was not possible until the seals were opened.
Amen.
And we are looking for a sign, and God put His face in a cloud 30 miles across, and people looking for a sign. What else do you want Him to do? Then not only that, but He'll come and He lives in Brother Ken over there. He lives in you brothers and sisters. Shows Himself alive, and they still turn away from it. Don't get discouraged. We're looking for that one that isn't here yet. I believe it. I believe that once the bride is complete, once she is where she ought to be, there's no reason to stay here anymore. God is not here to build a kingdom on this earth. We're here to destroy what this kingdom is and then build a new kingdom on this earth. Not patching up this thing. That's the same with our experience. We're not here to patch up anything. We're here to be what God saw we were before the foundation of the world. Got time for one more? Praise the Lord. Now, I said a moment ago, and I will finish here, that the false vine came into full fruition in this age. This is out of Laodicean church age. Her fruit would mature and ripen. That is correct. This evil-spirited church full of iniquity will be revealed as the mustard seed that grew into a tree wherein lodged the fowls of the air. At her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. All this is true. And if this is true, then it must also be true that the bride church will mature, and her ripeness shall be an identification with the Lord by means of the Word. In her head, who will come to her is the mystery of godliness, which indeed is Christ. And as the false church with diabolical power, made up of political force, physical force, and demons of darkness come against the true vine with the fullness of the Spirit and the Word will do the very acts of power that Jesus did. Then as she nears her headstone, becoming like Him through the Word, Jesus will come that the bride and groom may be forever united as one. Already, the visible manifestations of what I've been telling you are seen all around us. The ecumenical move of the tares is factual, but also it is a fact that the prophet for the last age must be bringing forth a message from God that will forerun the second coming of the Lord. For by His message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers, and with the restoration of the Word will come the restoration of the power.
Amen.
They go together. For you to say you have the Word and have no power of God, you are a liar.
Amen.
Because they go together.
Amen.
Let me keep reading. What crucial times are these in which we live? How careful we must be that we remain true to this Word and not take from it or add to it. For he who would speak where God has not spoken makes him a liar. What have I particularly in mind is this. About the turn of the century, the hunger for God was generating. The Philadelphian age brought a cry for the Spirit of God. And when the cry was answered by God sending forth manifestation in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, a group immediately, and most contrary to the Word, drew up a doctrine that tongues was the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Tongues were far from evidence. They were manifestation, but not evidence. The false of the doctrine can only be seen by a lack of Scripture to substantiate. I can't say it right now. But those who subscribe to the doctrine immediately organize on the basis of doctrine. I'm trying to get to a point here. Proving that they were not in the truth as they would have been, people believe. Oh, it looked good. It looked like the return of Pentecost, but it proved it wasn't. It could not be, for it organized. That is death, not life. And at any time, somebody takes the Word of God, somebody takes this message of the hour and makes a denomination out of it, where all you have to do is associate with that group of people to be saved, and you've got the Holy Ghost, if you sisters wear a dress, and all these things that float around, that is death. It is not life, and you'll never get a product of the Bride of Christ out of that. You've got to preach the Word. You've got to stay with the Word and let God show who's the bride and who isn't. Hallelujah. Let me go down a little bit. I want to try to get to this last part here. It was the husk, the chaff, in the greens, soft sheath form it was. Looked like it was the real thing, but as one can go into a field and see what looks exactly like wheat, and yet it's only the husk, for the wheat seed has not yet formed. So this was but a soft shell that looked like the real grain yet to come. The original wheat seed of Pentecost was to come back in the last age. So he's talking about, when we talk about Pentecost and the move of Pentecost, that was sheltering the message that would come, but that happened after. And for us, we're concerned that was 50 years ago now. Hallelujah. It had been buried at Nicaea. It sent up a shoot at Sardis. It grew a tassel at Philadelphia. And it was to mature at Laodicea. But it could not be back to the original until the Word was restored. Amen. Come on now. The prophet had not yet come upon the scene. But now, according to the time wherein we stand in the Laodicean age, the prophet messenger of Revelation 10:7 must already be in the land. Once more, thus saith the Lord, will be here, ready to be manifest with infallible vindication. This is the true seed already maturing. Amen. And then the harvest. Oh, glory to God. Do you see what I'm trying to get to? It's here. It's here. And if I've got any voice, this message, it's here. It's the life of God. It's the quickening power. It is the bride's revival. It's what you're looking for as a Christian. It's already there. Take it, be it, feed on it, believe it with all your heart, and anything against it is the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, I just don't feel like I have enough voice to shout it from the housetops like I need to, but this is it. We're about to go to 2015 in a few hours. Are we going to get to 16? I don't know, but God, let me be ready.
Amen.
Put a fervor in me that I'll make sure that a soul around me that I haven't tried to bring to this truth.
Amen.
That I haven't been, that I've not allowed myself to be afraid to say what this is. That, Lord, I'm not ashamed of the revelation of this hour. Are you afraid to say Brother Branham to someone? Are you afraid to say you believe the message of the end time, and then if you believe some denominational thought, you will be in the lake of fire? Come on now. Hallelujah, but I'm sold out. This is where we're at. Last problem. I mean, harvest time. Yes, harvest time. The two vines that grew together and intertwined their branches are now to be separated. And we're surprised. People are falling away. It's the time. It's the harvest time, which means you're going to pull the wheat away from the tares. That's where we're at. Not you or me. God is doing that. The fruits of those vines, which are such variants, will be gathered into separate. The two spirits will go to their separate destinations. Now it is time to heed the final call that comes only to the wheat bride. That's it. No more. Looking for a national worldwide revival. The message, the call of the hour to get a bride is only going to be able to be heard by the bride herself. Nobody else will know what it's about. It'll just be like when, this is my beloved son whom I'm pleased. When John was baptizing Jesus, what did most of them say? Heard a thunder or something. They heard seven thunders but didn't know what it was. Yet you and I are John standing there who didn't worry about the thunder so much. We heard the words that came forth. And this is my beloved bride. Hear ye her. It's the truth. Who's the final voice of the final age? The bride of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just any day now, 300. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Because you're a son or daughter of God. And if you're stuck in that cave, would you lift your hand to the Lord and say, Father, now you say this. Father, you know where I'm at. And I don't know why, but I believe what was spoken. I believe it's for me. With all my heart, it's who I am. I'm sorry, Lord, I've doubted. I'm sorry I've gotten distracted. But I believe. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother, sister. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. Does that hand really mean anything? If you got a heart of faith behind it, that's the difference between death and life. If Jesus comes tomorrow and you just got saved today, guess what? You're going, buddy. Praise His name. I believe that with all my heart. The maturing of the bride of Christ isn't some 50-year thing of every person getting super smart and knowing all the quotes. It's about letting Jesus live, getting ourselves out of the way and putting our confidence in Him. Then He'll show you things to come. He promised it. Praise His name. There'll be a soul here that says, Father, I need the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. There ain't nobody looking around. If that's you, don't resist it. Just say, Father, my soul. Oh, let it be Your presence. Even if you are a Christian, I'm not trying to take the Holy Ghost. If you just ain't on fire for God, say, Lord, burn my soul with Your presence. Seal it off from everything else in the world. Lord, make me a soldier. Maybe someone not afraid of the devil. Let him push me in any old thing and make me backslide and not do what I'm supposed to do. Let me be a real soldier because I've got the soldier in me. Hallelujah. God bless you, brothers and sisters. God sees that. He sees your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just keep on pressing through. Just keep on believing God. Believe for yourself. He'll take that conviction away. I'm here to tell you, the only reason you're convicted is because God wants you free. Thank you, Jesus. He's not torturing you. It's just the only way to help us thick-headed people sometimes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to challenge your faith tonight. Are you sick in body? I believe you raise your hands in faith, God will heal you right here in the midst of these people. Say, Lord, I'm going well today because I believe this promise. I'm your bride, and the divine healing's my inheritance. God bless you, brother, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. Thank you, Lord. Now worship Him. Praise Him. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't listen to that devil. Listen to the Word of God. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Don't let the devil shackle your hands down in some unbelief. Let him raise up and say, Lord, I'm showing what side I'm on. I believe you, Father. You got to have that attitude to get somewhere. If, Lord, you don't come, you're going to find a pile of bones here. I need peace tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep confessing that word until you quicken it in me. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm applying it by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God sees you, children. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just open up your heart. Listen to His voice. Listen to what the Word's told us today. I know thee by name. Before you were formed in the womb, I ordained you for Laodicea. Thank you, Jesus. Fear not none of those things which will come upon you. Hallelujah. For the never-failing presence of the Lord Jesus will be with you wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We all pray our own way here. And I'll lead in prayer. Let's just talk to you now. Heavenly Father, how we appreciate you tonight for what you've done for us. How you've come and showed us time and time again. And we tend to look at other things and be forgetful hearers, but then you come again and you show us again. You're so merciful and gracious to us, Lord. We so appreciate it, Father. We thank you for your love to us. Oh, God, help us to show love back to you. Lord, we do the best we know. May you just be a quickening in the bride of Christ. May every individual find themselves in the bride's revival. And they wouldn't have to say, where is it? They'll say, I am it. Just as that man, they were looking for the Welsh revival. News reporters going around, they found one man whistling the praises of God. And Lord, you show that he was that man. He was the revival. If it was just one soul come in, he said, you've come to the Welsh revival because I have been back in the Welsh revival. The prophet one time had a man who was prophesied he'd have a revival there in Chicago. And he kept looking for it. And the prophet had to show him that just those few souls that came in, that was the revival that God promised. Oh, Lord, help us to get our eyes on truth. That one soul is truly worth more than 10,000 worlds. Lord, and with all my heart, I pray for this group of people here tonight, your sons and your daughters, that if they're in any bondage of the enemy, any cage of unbelief or doubt, that the Holy Spirit now would set them free by the promise of God. May they see themselves in the Word. May they become the Word as they feed on the Word of God. And show that you're still alive today. May we start out 2015 on the right foot, Father. And that's on the pointing always to Calvary. Grant each one that's here for the Christian that is serving you. Lord, give them new fervor like never before. Quicken them with fire from on high. Let them be busy with those wings of action working for the kingdom of God. Grant each one here, may we be your servants like we ought to be, Father. Forgive us, Lord, and try us once more, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's just worship for a little while. This is the time, if you have a need, you can come forward. I'll be happy to pray with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's just worship Him. Let's praise Him.
Just any day.